Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to listen to Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners on confettitalkshow.com. Thank you.
On this episode of Confetti, the wedding planning talk show, we discuss tips for keeping your client's wedding day on schedule and whether or not specializing in wedding decor only as a service makes good business sense.
Confetti.
Welcome. It's Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013. I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to episode 358 of Confetti, the wedding business talk show. Thank you for joining me. If you're passionate about planning weddings for others, this is the place for you. To learn more about the show, visit confettitalkshow.com. Also, look for Confetti Radio on Facebook and on Twitter, iTunes, and Stitcher Smart Radio. For free articles and tips about starting a wedding planning business and being a phenomenal wedding planner, then check out weddingsforaliving.com. That's weddingsforaliving.com. If you're interested in running your own part-time wedding planning business, please visit weddingbusinessguide.com. And there you'll find downloadable forms, audio classes, and more. A huge welcome, by the way, to our newest Wedding Business Guide members. Thank you so much for being here. Feel free to type your questions and your comments, your social media URLs, your website, in the online chat room. And you can find the chat room that by going to confettilive.com. We've got several chat rooms that might appear, but you want to go to confettilive.com. If you want to listen to the audio only, that's all you're getting today. There's no video stream, but you should be hearing audio on the confettilive.com page. I'm seeing that guest 179 is saying that they cannot hear me. I want to say refresh the screen, but apparently that person did that. I apologize, but it seems like for the most part that folks can hear me. I'm not hearing anything differently. I'm not seeing anything differently in the comments. Our telephone number to call in, which is really just to listen. I say call in and sometimes I get the response that no one was able to ask, you know, to speak live. It's just a listen only device. And the call in number is 213-992-4358. Okay? 213-992-4358. Each show is recorded, so you will get to hear the replay. This is episode number 358. So a little while after the live show, if you go to confettitalkshow.com/358, you'll hear the audio replay. However, I try to sit here and do the recordings with you, with several of you here, so it helps so I can answer any questions that you may have on the spot. So I'm going to type a question real quick here in the chat room because it seems like some folks are still having issues with hearing the audio. It looks like Larissa's jumped right in. Thanks, Larissa. Whoa, I didn't even think to suggest that you need to hit the play button. I don't like to set it up so that it starts playing immediately, but I might start doing that. So, you know, Confetti Talk Show is on Facebook, as I mentioned. So if you go to Facebook.com/Confetti Radio, you'll see the Facebook page. But there's also a really great Facebook group. It's a closed group, which means you just request to be a part of it and get approved. And in that group, you'll see there's a lot of community spirit, a lot of information back and forth, questions to answers to questions that you may have about being a wedding planner and running your wedding business. And I'm just amazed at the responses that come through. There doesn't seem to be, I haven't seen any mean-spirited stuff at all. So to find out more and to be a part of that, you can go to, I'll just give you a short link to get there. If you go to confettitalkshow.com/insiders, with an S on the end, confettitalkshow.com/insiders, that will take you to the Facebook group. I will tell you right now, I'm not very active in there. and for those of you that don't know, I have this love-hate relationship with social media and Facebook. I'm just not a fan. But you know, it's ignorance stepping in there, but there are many of you that are just gung-ho and are in there. So I applaud you. I thank you so much. And if you are new to the wedding planning industry, that's a good place to be. Okay? I just want to share a couple of resources with you that I use for my wedding business that I think will help you. And one of my favorite resources is a way for you to manage your incoming telephone calls for your wedding business. You may be using your cell phone, you may be using a landline phone or a combination of those numbers. You may be using a service like Google Voice, but the service that I use is Freedom Voice, and you can find out more at tryfreedomvoice.com. And what this service does is it provides you with either a local telephone number or a toll-free number that you can provide to your clients, you know, your prospects, wedding vendors, anyone who may need to get in contact with you. With the service, you get a voicemail box, as you might expect, but you also get several mailbox extensions that you can use if you have a team of wedding planners. So if you and a girlfriend or you and a friend or you and a business partner have just set up your business, you can share the same phone number, just but provide different extensions. You get all of this for less than $10 a month. You do get a set amount of minutes. I believe it's 300 minutes for the least expensive plan. Freedom Voice has been around for many years. I've had the service for more than 10 years, so I don't, knock on wood, they're not going anywhere. And one of the great perks with this service is that you can call and speak to someone if you have questions or you want to try to personalize the service to work in the way that you have in mind. So please check out tryfreedomvoice.com. That's tryfreedomvoice.com. And you can check out the service free for 30 days to see if it works for you. Either a toll-free number or a local number or both if you choose to. It seems like everything's local right about now. But let's say you are doing destination planning. Toll-free might make sense, you know, so check out that service. The other service that I want to make sure that you're aware of is if you're listening to this audio, then you're probably comfortable with getting your information that way. Well, you can also listen to books. If you don't have a lot of time to read, then you can have someone read a book to you. The service that I use to do that is Audible. And Audible has thousands and thousands of titles, fiction and nonfiction, book titles. It's an Amazon company, so you know it stands to reason there are lots of titles to choose from. And the list keeps growing each day. And you can pick a book and listen to it, you know, pause it, go back to it. And this is great for when you're commuting, whether you're working out, or I listen to Audible right before I go to bed at night. That's usually how I doze off. You can set it up so, you know, depending on what device you're listening to Audible on, you know, you can set it on snooze so that, you know, the whole book doesn't, you don't get, the whole book is read with you being asleep half of the time. So just like Freedom Voice, you can check out Audible free for 30 days. But the great thing about Audible is that as a Confetti listener, you get to download an audiobook of your choice absolutely free, no strings attached. So to check out that service, go to confettitalkshow.com/audible. confettitalkshow.com/audible, AUDIBLE. And pick a book of your choice. Check it out for 30 days. You may decide to keep it, maybe not. I kept mine for a while, and it's the best way for me to keep up on newer book titles. And as I said, they keep adding titles all the time. Okay. Part of the enjoyment of this show is that I do ask you for questions and to get your feedback. And we have a listener talkback line. If you go to confettitalkshow.com, you'll see how you can leave your question. And I want to focus on two questions that came in over the listener talkback line. The first question that I want to tackle is about keeping your client's wedding day on schedule, which is a really big deal. And what prompted this topic for tonight was a question that was left by Olga, and I'll play her question right about now.
Hi, Debbie. My name is Olga Moriarty. I live in Vermont, organizing weddings. And one thing I was hoping that you might be able to speak to was how you keep a wedding moving on schedule. You know, when the photographer takes too long or when the couple, she doesn't come out of her, room and things start a little late. How do you keep moving along to avoid the cluster of, you know, the chefs then getting upset because food needs to be brought out and no one's in the tent yet, et cetera, et cetera? What are the tips of the trade from keeping a wedding on task? Thank you very much.
Great question, Olga, and that's a really big deal. If you've ever been to a wedding that just seems to drag on and on and on and has these pockets of time where nothing is going, you know, nothing is happening. It's just like, I was going to say dead air, but you know what I mean? It's just sort of like, okay, what's happening next? We're just waiting and waiting. That's because someone hasn't taken the time to figure out the schedule. You know, wedding, beautiful weddings don't just happen. There's a lot of planning involved. And when you raise your hand and decide that you're planning weddings for someone else, a lot of it comes down to logistics. Yep, the creativity is important. We want it to look fabulous so that everyone can go, ooh, ah, and great photos and great video. But timing is very important for any special event. So with a wedding, this is imperative for several reasons. But what we do a lot of time, a lot of what we do has to do with preparation. And in response to Olga's question, she mentioned, you know, a few scenarios about the bride, the photographer holding, you know, keeping the timing with the photographer. That's a big issue. You know, a lot of times your clients are taking pictures in between the wedding ceremony and the wedding reception. And depending on how long that process, that activity takes, that can throw everything off schedule. So as a wedding planner, creating a wedding day timeline is crucial. You may hear this referred to in different ways, production schedule, but it's basically a play-by-play. It's sort of line-by-line of what happens down to the point where it's pretty anal. You've got to list everything. It's actually a very overly detailed timeline. When I say overly, it's just to the point where you put stuff on there that you're thinking, gosh, do we really need to specify this? The whole plan is that you and your event day staff, the team that's working with you on your wedding day, and I hope you have people working with you on your wedding day. It's very difficult to do something like orchestrate the day of a wedding by yourself. Been there, done that. Don't even attempt it. It's not a good thing to do, especially when someone's paying you for that service. So the timeline is the roadmap that you and your staff follows so that at any given time when someone looks at their watch, or is anyone still wearing a watch? Oh, it looks at their cell phone to see what time it is. They should be able to look at the timeline and say, okay, this should be happening right about now. So as a wedding planner, this is a service that your clients should actually, they may not understand the importance of it, but you have to stress to them, you know, why keeping everything on schedule is important. And I'll explain a little bit about that in a second. So this wedding day timeline or production schedule is something that you actually need to start working on long before the wedding gets here. Don't get started on your wedding day timeline a couple of days before the wedding. Not good. You want to start this as soon as you possibly can. And the technique that I've used is as I go through each of the contracts that come in from each of the professional wedding vendors, based on the time that vendor says they're going to be at the wedding or when they're going to be at the venue to set up, I start plotting those times on my timeline. Doing it by piecemeal, makes the job way easier. But this is a behind-the-scenes document. This is something for you and your staff. You also are going to need to share portions of your timeline with the professional wedding vendors as it applies to them. And to answer Olga's question about keeping everyone on time, you have to let your wedding vendors know how anal you are before the wedding day gets here. What I mean by that is they need to realize that you are on point, that nothing gets past you, and you get the ball rolling before the wedding day gets here. Not to the point where you're obnoxious, but just to the point where they realize, okay, this person is on his or her A game. So when I create the wedding day timeline, which is really anal, I keep saying that because everything is on there. You know, caterer arrives, photographer sets up, photographer is ready to go. I mean, it's just, you know, limo arrives at bridal party dressing area, 10 minutes later, bridal party leaves dressing area and enters the limousine and things like that. Cake delivery arrives at wedding venue. So there are lots of moving parts at the same time. So at 3 p.m., there may be two or three different things happening. So my wedding day timeline actually has columns going, you know, left to right. So column A may show what's happening at the ceremony. Column B shows what's happening at the reception site. Column C may be where the male members of the bridal party are getting ready. However many different areas there are different columns to represent those areas. And then on that very first column, it's the time of what's happening. So this document is the roadmap for everyone, but it's not for everyone to see. So before the wedding day gets here, Olga, what you want to do is make sure that you touch base with each of the wedding vendors and share with them either the portion of the wedding day timeline that applies to them or the whole thing if you choose to. I try not to do that, because then it's sort of like overkill. Nobody wants to read a long-winded document except you and your wedding day staff. So you want to discuss this with your wedding vendors, and especially you want to discuss this wedding day timeline with the caterer, the photographer, who usually has the reputation of holding your bridal party hostage, meaning the wedding is, you know, not moving on time, and whoever is the MC. It may be the DJ, it may be someone else, it may be the band leader, because this person needs to keep the wedding reception moving too. Anyone that has a key role during the wedding needs to see this wedding day timeline. And the approach you want to have is, when you talk to the caterer, you find out from this person, you know, how, you know, this is what I had in mind for the timeline for the reception. Can you look this over with me and tell me what your thoughts are? If there's a buffet versus a seated dinner for the reception, the timing is different. You know, do your clients want to do their first dance the moment they come in to the wedding reception, therefore opening the dance floor, meaning that guests are welcome to dance? Because normally after the first dance is when everybody gets on the floor. No one's usually dancing before that point. Not always, but typically that's the way it goes. But if there's a three-course meal being served, your caterer is going to want to kill you if the guests are up dancing and the servers have to maneuver their way to get everyone to sit down, number one, and number two, to get to the actual tables to plate, you know, to have the plates of food positioned. So these are things you've got to discuss ahead of time, which is why I say it's to the point that you're anal. And the MC needs to know that he or she can't just say, okay, everybody on the dance floor when we're getting ready to serve the main course. No, 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 no. So all of these moving parts need to be coordinated. So talk to your wedding vendors before the wedding. That's the key part. A lot of what we do is the preparation beforehand. If you can, jumping back to the photographer, see how many photos can be taken before the wedding. Don't assume that the bride and groom don't want to see each other before the wedding ceremony. Some couples are fine with that. And, you know, they're willing to have some of those photos taken before. If you know that the photographer needs to take group photos of the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, there's no reason why those photos can't be taken before the ceremony if folks are there on time, if you schedule it that way. Because what will happen is, once the ceremony is over and the photographer decides to take pictures, that can stretch out. The other key component is that you need to discuss this timeline with your staff before the wedding. Your staff, meaning your folks who are there on your team wedding planning for the wedding day. So they need to understand what's happening when. But the key part that I found with with your team and the timeline is to assign one person on your team to do something specific. So maybe one person is responsible for sort of keeping an eye on the female bridal party members. Another person's responsibility is to oversee the setup of the reception. And there may be, you know, several responsibilities for one individual. So individual, you know, Sue may be responsible for overseeing the female bridal party, making sure they're ready. And then once they leave to go to the ceremony site, then Sue maybe takes off to the wedding reception venue to make sure that everything is set up in place with the cake and the catering. So assigning those people, giving your staff responsibilities, will make sure that that person is keeping an eye on the timeline. It's important for you to assign somebody to be with the photographer and the bridal party. Don't leave that group off on their own. Someone has to be in there to be the timekeeper. Someone's got to be the bad cop. Otherwise, that can really get out of control. I did that a couple of times and learned my lesson. With the photographer and the bridal party went off to another location, to a beautiful historic site to take pictures. And we were just waiting for them forever and ever and ever and ever. The photographer's not answering the phone because he was busy taking photos. And we're trying to figure out, well, where are they? You know, the cocktail party was 45 minutes, you know, to an hour max. And we were going into an hour 30. So by assigning someone on your staff to oversee that portion, because those are usually the time wasters right there. So the last part I wanted to make sure I mentioned with regard to keeping the wedding day on schedule is you have to reiterate to your clients about overtime rates. This is why it's important to stick to the timeline, because they need to be ready, they, your clients, that if the reception is set up for 4 hours and the bridal party are taking pictures that should have taken 20 minutes, well, it's rare that it takes it that quickly, that's scheduled for 30 minutes and it's taking them an hour 30 instead, that pushes everything off schedule. Maybe now the reception site's saying, okay, the party can keep going, but now you're having to hit overtime. The DJ or the band may decide to hit overtime. The videographer, anyone else that's scheduled to be there, the whole timing is off. And that's overtime going on for several vendors, which is much money. So you've got to get your clients on your side to understand why timing is so important. And it all comes back to this wedding day timeline. So Olga, my response to you is a lot of this has to be preparation. Talking to the wedding vendors beforehand and making sure your staff understands the importance of the wedding day timeline. Also, the wedding reception, don't leave that to chance. Schedule what's supposed to happen, when the cake is going to be cut, if they're doing the garter toss, excuse me. Remember I mentioned about the meal service? Find out when that should be happening. And on the wedding day, you don't want to go completely crazy, but you want to try to stick to that as best as possible. If you find that you're going off schedule, you want to try to rein that in. But timing is crucial, which is why you've got to have a good team with you on board. But everyone needs to know beforehand what's happening when. The bridal party should get a copy of the timeline, but it needs to be just to the point. Maybe just the ceremony and the beginning of the wedding reception. That's all. And maybe not even the wedding reception. Just, you know, who needs what time, everyone needs to be at the ceremony site. And their timeline does not need to break down the ceremony in details. Like, it doesn't need to say when the first reading is or when the exchanging of rings is happening. Don't worry about all that. But just the ceremony, when it begins, when it ends, and so forth. And get an idea from the officiant how long that will take. Okay, so that's my response, Olga, with regard to keeping your client's wedding on schedule. But it's a great question and very important. But as wedding planner, you got to master that. I would suggest Olga also is to check out confettitalkshow.com number 308 and confettitalkshow.com/313. 308 talks about creating the wedding day timeline, and 313, episode number 313, is more about the rehearsal, but the rehearsal is a good thing to sort of give the bridal party a pep talk as to how important it is for timing. You don't want to make it a big deal, otherwise it takes all the romance and fun out of the wedding, and the bridal party really don't need to know the behind the scenes stuff, but just let them know about the timing and go over that with them. Okay, I hope that helps, Olga. For those of you just joining, sorry for the confusion. There's no video stream today; it's just audio. So if you know you're frantically searching for audio, video, it's not there. Just doing the video. Yeah, it's just audio today. I did the audio only for the last show, and it was so much easier for me. It was one less thing for me to focus on. So I'm giving just the audio only a try. It just seems to be easier for me to get the information out to you. Let me just take a look at the chat room, and welcome if you're just joining. Let's see. Diana said, Diana, I've had the bridal party ask for the timeline. Oh, I already answered your question. Sorry, let me read it anyway. Sorry, one second, let's go back. I've had the bridal party ask for the timeline. I give it to them. Is that not okay? No, yeah, Diana, so give it to them, for sure. But just don't give them the long version. Oh, gosh, don't give them the long version. And it's inevitable. There'll always be a smart aleck at the wedding rehearsal that says, ooh, at 3:35, we are cutting the cake. And then at 3:39... then it's going to be, you know, they're exchanging the toast. It's just like there's always one. And that's always the person that comes running to you or your staff on the wedding day with some kind of frantic question. So just sort of be charming about it, and just know that you're possibly going to get those remarks. But the thing is, they don't need the full version. The wedding day timeline can be several pages long. I'll tell you right now, and it's just so that you don't have to guess. You don't want to guess. You just want to be able to look at this timeline and say, okay, yes, that's what's going on. You know, you'll have a page for all the contact numbers for your vendors, all of that in one place. You don't want to have to go through several locations to get the information you need. Okay? So I hope that helps. Larissa's asking, how many assistants do you normally average on a is that day of coordination? Is that what you're asking? Or is it based on how many guests? Larissa, it depends on what you're doing, what your role is, what you are contracted to do for your clients. Minimum is usually, for me, two plus me, three. So that one can be responsible for the reception, one person oversees the ceremony site and make sure that that's straightened out when the ceremony is over, and then me just sort of running around like a lunatic between the two locations. But the guest count does play a part. And, you know, the way that I've heard planners say, I can't afford this amount of event planners or this amount, you know, as many event assistants. You build their fee into your fee. So if you know that you're paying your wedding assistants $100 or $150 for the day, then that amount needs to be part of your planning fee. This is why you don't just want to. And I know pricing is tricky for many industries and for anyone new, and not just when you're new, but there has to be a bit of science to why you're planning, why you're charging what you're charging. Just because the planner up the street is charging $700 for day of, that doesn't mean, okay, then I should price mine for $700. Maybe she doesn't have event assistance. You have to be able to provide your clients with, you're the expert. You know how many folks that you need, hopefully. And you explain that to your clients. My fee is $1,200 instead of $700 because I will have three trained assistants that will be there on your wedding day, so we can make sure that your dad knows when it's time for him to give his speech, so that we can make sure that the caterer is happy and the food is served on time, so that your guests are not getting cold food, and to make sure that you're not having to pay extra for in overtime fees, which will happen if we don't have enough people to make sure this wedding goes off without a hitch. We don't want you to worry about your wedding day. So I've got enough people here to make sure that this is taken care of. That's why our fee is $1,200. It's $1,200 and you're going to get all of this and then break it all down. So I don't know how the wedding planner up the street is charging you $700 and having three people on staff. I don't know how she's doing that. I think any reasonable client would understand that. And you know what? If they don't, you move on. That's okay. So just be able to justify it. So if you take a moment to plan who needs to be where, then you provide the amount, which is why, you know, if you're pricing, when you're advertising the pricing for day of or wedding planning in general, you can say our prices begin at $1,200 or begin at $1,000 instead of saying our wedding day fee is $1,200, because if you're stuck to that, then what happens if your client has 350 guests? Really? You're going to need extra people. So you can say, this is the beginning fee. And when you meet with your clients, your prospects, you explain to them, you know, based on the headcount, we may decide that we need to have more people. So how many people are you expecting at your wedding? And you'll know, because you're managing the wedding. If they're saying it's 150 and it's 200, or 250, then we've got to adjust the price. You want to keep a credit card on file. I'm going to just add that bit of information. This is how you make sure that if there are changes, that you're covered. You don't want to collect money after a wedding. Nobody wants to pay you after the wedding. They don't want to pay. So you keep the credit card on file, not so that you can just charge willy-nilly, but just so that you are comfortable in saying to them, you know, if there's an additional fee, we will send a bill. However, you know, if not, we've got your credit card on file. That should be enough to get everyone in line. Okay. All right. Jonelle saying she has students who she does not pay. That's the wedding planner for $700. Yes, Jonelle, right? That's why she's able to charge that. So, you know, just keep, you're running a business. So you've got to put some thought into what your expenses are. And paying your day off assistance is an expense for you. Okay, so you've got to build that fee in. I think it's okay I rephrase that. It's okay to charge what you're charging if you can justify it. You don't have to explain every detail. But when you explain to someone that you're running a professional operation, then they get that. All right, I'm going to move on to the next question. I kind of dragged that one out entirely too long. And this question is about wedding decor. And the question came from Michaela. I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Michaela. Let's listen to what she has to say.
Hi, my name is Michaela. I just had a question. I wanted to start my own wedding planning business, but I'm actually more interested in the decoration, the design. Do you think that I would be limiting myself if I were to just go after that service, or should I offer planning and then, you know, the additional services as decoration, design, as a part of that, or in its own separate entity? So I just wanted to be as open as possible, but the passion lies in the design of the events. So thank you for listening.
That's a great question. It really is. I'll start by saying this, Michaela. You've got a great problem because you've already identified what your niche is. Have you noticed that? I stopped saying niche a couple of months ago and started saying niche. I don't know who I think I am, but that's what I'm going with. Ha. So Michaela wants to know if she should stick with that or if she should sort of mix it up a little bit. But the key is just to start with, just to begin with. If you're torn and don't know where to go, start with one thing. And you've already identified, Michaela, that the planning is it for you. That's what you want to do. So don't fight that. Don't fight it at all. Our human nature is that we feel that if we limit ourselves to doing one thing, that we're going to miss out on so much more. And I know it sounds counterintuitive, but the opposite is true for what we're doing. So my suggestion is, if that's where your passion lies, then I'm going to say start and stick with that. Because what's going to happen is you're going to begin to gauge what your clients want and what your prospects want. If you say wedding design and you're not getting any feedback, you're not getting any takers, that may be an indicator that, maybe that's not what people want. And let me say this. Hopefully, you're providing a service that folks want. It's easier for you, no matter if you're doing weddings or anything else, right? If you can provide a service that people want, as opposed to saying, this is what I want to do. Let me see if there are any takers out there. It's easier to go the initial route than the latter. So if you know that people want wedding design and you provide that solution, you will have clients. However, if you say, I want to do wedding design, I'm not sure if anyone out there wants it, that's going to be a harder route for you if no one wants it. But for the most part, I think you're going to be okay, because my experience has been that no matter where you are in this world, most, not all, most clients want their wedding day to look spectacular. So if you can provide design, people are going to come to you for that. So my advice would be to start with wedding design. I know you're thinking about full service and doing the planning and so forth. That will come, because as you start providing wedding design services, you may start to hear, we also need a planner. Do you offer that service? You hear that once, and then you're meeting with another client or prospect and you hear, do you do planning too? Because that's what we really want. And when you start to hear that, that sort of lets you know, okay, there's a need for that. So by the time you're ready to offer that service, don't offer it just yet, you're going to have that need. So you're back in that position that I just mentioned. You're filling the need that people are looking for, what people want, what you're offering. So, but getting back to this design thing, I would say stick with design and become the master at that. Because when you are a specialist, and I've said this before, you sort of elevate yourself to a different level. As a wedding planner, I doing the logistics, I'm going to look for a good wedding designer. There are a lot of people that tout the title wedding designer. There are very few that are good. So if I know that you're competent and you really do have some great designs and you have figured out how, you know, your pricing makes sense, not just some like pie in the sky number, because that happens a lot, I may use you. So the client's hired me for planning, but you either may come under my umbrella or the client's contracts directly with you to do wedding design. I think that makes perfect sense. So you master wedding design, you take your training, whether it's hands-on or correspondence or combination of both. You figured out your pricing. Your website shows pictures of your designs. You maybe do a mock setup of before and after. You go out there and talk to other wedding vendors so that they know what it is that you're doing, if you do lighting or whether you sub that out. Those are the things that you become known for. You are a wedding designer, a wedding decor specialist. And as I mentioned, a lot of clients get that. They buy into that. They may not understand, and oftentimes they don't understand why they need to pay $1,200 for day of, although that's usually a lot of couples are coming around to that idea. But they'll understand that, oh my gosh, in order for her to change that social hall to look like this, it's going to cost us $3,000, but oh my gosh, it's going to look spectacular. Look at the ceiling treatment. Look at the centerpieces. Yes, I want that. It's tangible. They can see that. The photos are going to look good. The videos are going to look good. So I would say go with that. Start with that. And know to yourself that coming down the pike, as you master this design thing, then you're going to launch into planning. But when you dilute it by doing all of that, you're kind of like a jack of all, and you're not standing out with one thing. And once you decide to specialize with your niche or your niche, gosh, I sound so damn suave. When you specialize with your niche, it's almost like it's. I lost my train of thought because I was so damn spun hung up on the word niche. But when you specialize like that, you stand out. You stand out. And when you do specialize, own it. I don't want you to say, I do wedding design, but I also do full service planning, and we also provide day of. And if you need a wedding officiant, we do that too. That's not how you promote that. You say that you're a wedding designer and that you can transform the most basic room to look like this. And you show the pictures, or we can provide you with centerpieces, which will transform the room. And that's what you do. And when someone buys into that, then when they ask you, hey, by the way, we need a day of coordinator. If you offer that service, then you can say, yeah, we can probably help. We can help you with that too. But you promote your specialty. That's what you want to make front and center. Don't dilute it with all the other stuff. And you're going to see other planners and other wedding planners and other event planners being the jack of all. You don't want to be the jack of all. You've got to stand out. Once you stand out, you attract attention for just that specialty. And everyone else who's not interested in that, you don't want them anyway, and they're not going to come see you. So you narrow down on your niche and become the kingpin or queenpin of that area. So, Michaela, my suggestion would be go with it. Don't fight it. Go with that passion. And everything you do from this point forward is about wedding design. It'll become very clear what you need to go with and what you need to not worry about. For example, wedding planner certification may not be a priority for you right now, because being a certified wedding planner, in my mind, has very little to do with wedding design. Yes, it's going to help you, but I just don't think it's a priority. There are lots of different resources for doing wedding design. We did a couple of shows on confetti, just so that you know, Michaela. Episode number 349 is one about event decor training. Eventprotraining.com provides online classes. You can also go to iWed Global, which is, I call them the gypsy wedding design course, because they travel, or maybe nomadic might be more appropriate, right? So they go from place to place, and you just check out the schedule and see when they're coming to your town. The investment is a bit more significant for wedding design, but it makes sense because it's easier for you to charge and get that money back. Brides see that. They get it when they, and I keep saying brides, but here we are in September 2013. It could be a bride or groom, right? You understand that. It's force of habit. I got to get that out of my system. But they get that. So, you know, you should charge significantly for that. And when you do something like iWed Global, maybe you focus on that, on their certification, as opposed to traditional wedding planner courses. Do you see how just by forgetting everything else, you don't even have to worry about the other stuff? So I would say for sure, focus on design if that's where your passion is. If you are a wedding planner who's doing logistic planning or day of and decide that you want to add design, you can do that too. I would just suggest just master one thing so that you don't have to think too hard about it. Figure out what works, what doesn't. Get all the kinks worked out. Come up with a quick training program for your event day assistants so they know what to do where to be, how you're going to charge them, what folks are accepting as payment in your area for event day assistance. And once you've done that, then you want to sort of lean into the design aspect because you've already established your reputation as a wedding planner. So vendors will find it easier to, you know, refer you to others. And then if you decide to add design along with planning, please charge separately for that. Maybe you set it up as a different an arm of your business. So let's say your main business is Weddings by Debbie. Then, you know, the design portion of your business can be Wedding Decor by Debbie, a division of Weddings by Debbie. You can set it up as a slightly smaller company or just as a subdivision. I would even go as far as to say create a separate website for the design that links back to your traditional planning and vice versa. Because a bride that's looking, I did it again, for clients that are looking for design, they want to see design. And then if they see planning, they can go to another home, another location, another address for that. So try to separate the two. And the reason I'm saying separate the two, because you got to charge separately for design. Don't roll all that stuff in together. Don't plan someone's wedding as a logistical planner and then roll in centerpieces. That's a completely different ball game. That you've got to separate that. You've got labor, you've got material, you've got all kinds of different moving parts. Denise is saying two different business licenses. No, not at all. I wouldn't say that. You can have one company and break it out into divisions. And when I'm saying breaking it out into divisions, I'm not saying separate entities. I'm just saying separate for you. You know, you can be on the web and have 10 different websites right about now. It doesn't mean they're separate companies, but they just have their own little home. But you can identify it as a division of your main company. That way you can, you know, market each differently. I mean, they're linked, but you can do things separately. And then if for some reason the design thing you realize you thought it was great, but it's not for you, that can kind of trickle off to the side without affecting your planning, day of planning, which you've already mastered, which is why I say if you master one and then you have to do less thinking about it, it's much easier to now sort of bring something else in as opposed to juggling two. This is an issue. I will tell you right now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I struggle with this all the time. I sit here and I say, you know, you've got to specialize. And then when it comes to me, I feel like if I specialize, oh my gosh, I'm missing out on such and such. So I do it. But the truth of the matter is, as soon as I sort of get away from that and come back to my senses, it makes my life so much easier when I specialize. So if you're determined to have a few different things going on simultaneously, just set them up in their own little world so then you can focus on them individually so that if one happens to be more prominent than the other, then you can put your energy in it without affecting the others. Because you don't want to have, you don't want to say, I do this, this, and this, and then it doesn't work out that way a year from now. Okay? I hope that helps. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Do I have to kind of roll back up to see? Because I'll pick up like parts of a conversation. I love it when you guys are sharing. I would think that you would charge separately for that when you give them the contract. Okay, that's what John L. is saying. Separate websites drives traffic separately. Will it matter? Larissa, see, and the jury's out on that. My feeling is that you SEO juice for me, it's important, but it's not going to drive what I'm doing. We all want to be high, you know, get high rankings in Google and the search engines. I'm not knocking that. But my priority is yes to, you know, to my clients and prospects. And of course, people need to find me. But if I have a prominent website, it would be good to add the other service on there. And I can do that in several different ways. Maybe I just, if I'm using WordPress for my website, then I may just create another category and that category becomes my other business. But I like the idea of having a separate website because I don't want to dilute the message. And I mean, there are different ways you can do it. I can start talking about custom posts in WordPress, but I refuse to do that. I wouldn't do that to you tonight. But I like the idea of the separate site and linking to that from my main site. And that's just my preference. So, I mean, for those of you who are SEO gurus out there, please let me know. I'd love to hear your feedback. You know, you can call the Confetti Talk back line or send me a note. But I just think my first obligation is not to the SEO engines. It's to my clients and the experience that my prospects have when they come to my website. And I think if I'm true with it, if I stick with it, at some point I'll be rewarded for that. So if my main site is up there already, I don't I don't feel badly about linking to some, you know, another site that's lesser known. That's just an opinion. It doesn't make it right or wrong. So, you know, again, think, you know, I'd love to hear your feedback, but don't let SEO drive you to do something that just doesn't even make sense for what we're doing. We provide an offline service and it needs to make sense. It just needs to make sense. Okay. I hope that helps. We can do a lot of things as wedding planners, and I know the more things I take on, the less gets done for me. As soon as I start just throwing things away or pushing things away and say, I'm not doing that right now, I seem to do better. When I focus, it's much better. And the amount of time I've wasted because I have several projects going on and not giving each of them enough attention, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So, you know, it all has to do with what works for you. And, you know, please know that my suggestions are only based on my experience and what has worked and what I've heard from others. It doesn't make it right or wrong. So you may have a completely opposite experience than what I'm sharing. So that's why I like doing the show this way, because you can share and explain what's worked for you and what hasn't. I can see you guys are rocking and rolling. Diana's thanking John L. and Adrian. What is John L. and Adrian seeing? Adrian said that's a good strategy because you don't want to provide a quote that is misaligned with what you need to make. Okay, I'm not sure. Adrian, I'm not sure what you... See, this is what happens when I read the chat. I can't keep up with you guys. You're rocking and rolling. Yeah. So Adrian's asking, do you currently have a method to determine a basic pricing strategy? Adrian, if that's directed at me, my pricing strategy has a lot to do with what my expenses are, and then I build from there. It's got to cover my expenses and some. If it's covering my expenses, then I'm not making a profit. Although I will operate a business at a loss or at I will operate at a loss and maybe just to cover myself initially in with the goal of building that up. I'm not a big company like Amazon, but I was amazed to find out how many years Amazon was operating. John L. said blasphemy. I was amazed to find out how long Amazon was operating. I just got an email or I read somewhere the year that they made a profit. I want to say it was like 2001 or 2002. And I'm like, what? They're only just making a profit? These people have been around forever, but it was a strategy. And it comes down to what your plans are. If you're in this for the long haul, then it's going to take a few years. Maybe you're working your full-time job and your full-time job is what's supporting you until you get there. That's why I say things like, you know, starting a part-time wedding business. Because as a wedding planner, it's very difficult. It's been my experience to just plan weddings full-time from the get-go and make money right off the bat. Enough money to survive, enough money to pay expenses and still have extra money to pay things like the mortgage or the rent and buy food, those small details. You know what I mean? So if you're in it for the long haul and you know this is what I want to do, then you're going to take a few years perhaps to just get things worked out and not make a huge profit, but not with the goal of it being that way forever. It depends if you're in it for the long haul or just for the short term. If your goal is, I need to make some money right about now, I need to just make an extra $500 or $1,000 for the next 6 months, then maybe your strategy is going to be a little different. Then you're not going to do something that requires a whole lot of investment of your time and training. Why would you? You know, maybe then you just become an online official. You get ordained online and you do, you know, people who want to, you do weddings where people just want to get married quickly and you do the ceremony and it's a quick package and fast buck. I mean, that may be something that you do long term, but it's not something that you're thinking maybe, you know, 10 years down the line, I still want to do this. Or maybe, but that's why I'm saying you've got to decide how you want to, you know, how, if you're in this for the long haul, how much time do I have? How much money do I have in reserve that I can tide this business over until it starts making money for me? But I don't want you to quit your job next week and then say 3 months later, damn it, Debbie, I'm not making any money and I quit my job. No. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Diana said this is a full-time job for me. You go, Diana. So, you know, depending on, then it needs to be making income for you. And hopefully you're making a profit from your business, Diana. So, That's great information. Maybe we need to get Diana to do an interview to share how that has worked for her. Denise is saying, I ask for budget and then show them what I can provide. I never break down the pricing of what is provided. Oh, that's interesting. You know, you don't have to do line item. And I'm not sure if I caught the tail end of your comment, if you're responding to something else, Denise. But, you know, it depends on you can just give out a ballpark number and just say this is what the cost is, or you can break down. But you don't have to. Some of your pricing is not going to be for the customer to understand. I mean, you're not going to say, well, my monthly expenses is $600, so therefore I'm going to charge you $800. No, it doesn't work that way. But you may decide to break down portions, like, you know, our base price for day off planning is $1,200. However, if you have a guest count of 200 or more, then we need to add an additional $150. And we're adding an extra $150 because we've got to provide another event planner for you. That makes sense. That's something you would have to explain. Okay? All right. Heather's also, Heather at the heels, is also a full-time planner. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that it cannot be done. It can be done, but a lot of times it's something you've got to work up into the full-time process. It's a little tricky. Wedding planning is becoming front and center now, so that's good for us that people don't think it's just for celebrity clients or high-end clients. But if I can master one thing, if I can get people to understand day of, or if I know that people are starting getting design, I'm starting with the easy stuff. If I'm passionate enough about it, and then I'm going to build up into the other things. I'm not going to try to charge someone $10,000 for full service planning if I haven't mastered the basics of day of. That just doesn't make sense to me. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Okay. All right. I think that's about it. Were there any last minute questions? Thank you, John L., for the feedback. That's great advice. And Adrian, when you're talking about contingency, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Adrian's has a lot of great information to share. So many of you do, and I love the information that you're sharing. You know, if you have a great tip or a comment, please call the talkback line and share. It's not just for asking questions. If you have some insight that you'd like to share, please use the Confetti Talkback line. Just go to confettitalkshow.com and you'll see how to leave the message. And I've gotten a few emails, one in particular for someone who wants to be a guest on the show. But this individual didn't tell me what they did. I didn't have a link for a website. So if you have something that you think is going to be beneficial to our listeners, and remember, our listeners are primarily other wedding planners or folks who are planning to become wedding planners, not really brides and grooms. But if you have information to share for someone in this business or getting into that business, please call the talkback line and let me know what it is that you do. But just sending me an email saying, I'd like to be a guest on your show, please send me information. I don't know what it is that you do, so you've got to fill me in. And if you're listening, someone sent me an email and I replied to the email and then the email kicked back. That wasn't a great start, so I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Okay. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. You know, it's kind of, oh my gosh, it's almost 9 o'clock and I try to keep the shows down to 45 minutes or so. And I didn't do that. So my apologies, but it's been great. I got a lot of information from you and hopefully you got some great information from me. Thank you for tuning into the show. If you're based in the United States and would like to receive a text message when the next show's about to begin, text the word confetti to the number 71441. Standard message and data rates may apply. Remember, confetti is on iTunes and Facebook and Twitter. I'm Debbie Quain. Be sure to join me for the next live show on Tuesday, September 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay? As always, lots of love and success. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.